Frog fans to the Frogs Insider Podcast. Jenny Plunkett here alongside the great Emmanuel Miller, TCU basketball forward. Degree in hand?
Degree, yeah. Get it in May.
That's incredible, man. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
We're going to be talking with Emmanuel today about his career at TCU, what's next for him, some insights that he's got into TCU basketball, because if you want to know about TCU basketball, you talk to a TCU basketball player. That's the first thing that you've got to do. So shout out to our sponsors, Home Field Apparel, Hell's Half Acre Stadium Goods for partnering with us. And, of course, big thanks to Dave Campbell, Texas Football, for allowing us to be a part of their network as well. Emmanuel, it feels like yesterday when you and I sat down, like 2 months into your TCU career, you were telling me about your time at A&M, the process to get down here from Canada, talking about Coach McNeely and that relationship as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you have 3 years under your belt here and you're about to have your degree in hand, just talk to me. You've talked on the record a lot about how special TCU is and just the value that you found here and the family that you found here. But was there a specific moment that stands out in your mind where maybe it was the first time you were like, yeah, this is my place?
Yeah. It was my first year in March Madness. We played Arizona, and at the end of the game, I got hit in my nose, and I was gushing all over the court. And I remember after the game, after the conclusion of the game, you know what happened. I remember receiving so many DMs of just people concerned. You know, no one's talking about their parlays. No one's asking about this or that. The whole community just reached out to see if I was okay, to see if I was hurt, if I needed anything, if just really cared about my well-being. And from that moment, I knew this was the team for me.
Have you gotten DMs about people's parlays?
Every game, before the games. I don't open it no more, but all the time.
That's a little crazy to me. And I like that the NCAA is trying to do something about player parlay or player props at the collegiate level.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the stress that you guys go through every single day already.
Yeah.
Student athlete.
Yeah.
Working hard in the classroom.
Yeah.
You've got practice. You've got all of these things that go on in your life, and now you've got randoms from across the country and probably from across the globe, right? Just in your face or in your DMs about, oh, man, I had you at 11 and a half
exactly.
by the over. You only had 11.
Exactly.
Why did you miss that free throw? All that
crap.
That's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. But, you know, that's what comes with the sport, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of ignoring that and you going out and competing.
Absolutely. So I know that when you came to TCU, Coach Dixon and the staff had a vision for your development.
Yeah.
They wanted to move your offense a little bit further away from the rim.
Yeah.
Extend you out beyond the three-point line.
Yeah.
Defensively, they wanted you to become more of a perimeter defender as well.
Yeah.
And we got to witness that over the last 3 years,
your
development, I think, pretty clearly
into
that kind of player. But was there a part of that plan or a part of that development that was particularly challenging for you?
You know, adjusting your game is challenging within itself, right? I remember every practice Coach Dixon would challenge me to do something better than I thought I could do myself.
Okay.
I remember if it's the little fundamental things, jump stopping, playing off 2 feet, faking a pass to make a pass, all these little things that sound so simple, you know, I didn't do really well. I was a high motor, energetic, fast paced type of player, and Dixon has opened up my eyes to playing at different speeds, controlling my pace, controlling the tempo, and reading what the defense gives me. A lot of my game and how I've gotten better over the years, I really have to credit my teammates. You know, I've guarded the best of the best. I've guarded Mike Miles. I've guarded high-level athletes within this program, and they've challenged me on a daily basis. You know, they put me in situations where I didn't feel comfortable, and they challenged me to be a better me. So I think my teammates play a big part of that.
You know, I think one of the most impressive things from my perspective, not only is the shooting, which I think people don't fully understand, I think, the challenge when you've been around the rim your entire career to step out behind the line, but your rebounding numbers really didn't change that much.
Yeah, exactly.
And typically you see guys when they move further away from the rim, when they're out of the paint more frequently, those rebounding numbers take a dip. What did you do to make sure that didn't happen for you?
You know, I talk about this with my family. My family always gives me advice, and they talked about always involving getting better, but never forgetting what you do best. Mm. So rebounding has always been my calling. I've always had a notch of just knowing where the ball is going to go.
Yeah.
And aside from that, I wanted to improve my offensive game. So I think doing a combination of both has helped me become the player I am.
So we talked 3 years ago now about Coach McNeely and your relationship.
Yeah.
In the 3 years that you two have been here together, what has been maybe the biggest piece of advice he's given you along the way?
Just stay in the moment, right? I'm going to have my ups. I'm going to have my downs. But how can I control the moment I'm currently in? How can I control the moment to benefit me instead of hurting me, right? So he's talked to me a lot about just living in the moment, always never taking anything for granted, but always having that calm composure.
When has it been the easiest to live in the moment?
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side of that, when was the most challenging time to just be in the moment for you?
The easiest is always when we win games.
Sure.
When we win a game that people didn't think we were going to win, you know, those are the easy moments. The hardest moments are the practices,
mm-hmm.
right? Those practices where you just don't want to be there, you know?
Yeah.
2 years ago, I have 5 classes. I'm coming out of all classes, and now I'm coming to practice to hear Jamie Dixon scream. And it's challenging. It's challenging to motivate yourself to bring the best out of yourself for not only yourself but for your teammates,
mm-hmm.
right? Because in those moments where you don't want to be practiced, when you don't want to practice, that's where greatness starts.
Yeah.
Those practices where you don't want to be there, those practices where you just want to go home, instead of thinking that you got to change your mindset to be present and be in that moment, like my uncle says.
When you mentioned Jamie Dixon screaming, he said in a press conference near the end of the season this year that he tried everything defensively with this team, and that he included that he started cussing more this year as well. Did you notice that from him?
Yeah, for sure. 2 years ago compared to this year is like the biggest difference. He really tried everything. You know, he wants to win. He's in here as much as any other player. He's taking notes. He's watching film. He's scouting. He's doing anything he can to win, because that's all Jamie Dixon knows. He knows how to win. His earlier days at Pitt, that just speaks for itself. And him screaming, he is not lying. Every practice, any shot, anything you could think of, he's going to scream.
I'm going to say a list of names of former players here.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to tell you the connection that I've noticed between all of them.
Okay.
You have Kenrich Williams.
Yeah.
You got Brandon Parrish.
Stud.
Absolutely. You got guys like Kean Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
To the newer guys like Mike Miles.
Yeah.
Damian Paul.
Yeah.
And you.
Yeah.
The thing that I noticed in all of you, and maybe this was by choice or design, or maybe you were just the only ones.
Yeah.
It's easy to come out and talk to the press after wins.
Yeah.
But you guys consistently were the ones that came out
after
losses to talk to the media. Did you view that as a leadership role?
Yeah.
Or was that no one else was going and doing it?
Yeah.
Talk me through kind of your mindset talking to the media in the good moments and the
bad. You know, if I'm being as transparent as possible, it is extremely difficult to talk after a loss. Like I think it's harder to talk after a loss than competing during a game.
Okay.
Because after the loss, you have so many things going through your mind. You have your family trying to reach out to you, mm-hmm. ask you how you feel about the game. You have the coaches talking about what we could have done better. And you're thinking to yourself, well, did I perform to the best of my ability, mm-hmm. right? And all these things you're thinking, now you're going into press conference after a loss. And it's hard, right? Because you're thinking of all those thoughts. You have all those thoughts flowing through your mind. And speaking to other people just doesn't sound the best. It's not fun, but after speaking after a loss, I think there's growth in that, right? Because you really get to recognize, hey, what's going on, what's wrong, and address it rather than holding it in. So my thought process of speaking after tough losses was being able to speak my mind and just get everything off my chest. Hey, this is what we did wrong. Hey, this is what we need to get better at. And just saying that out loud, it helps me.
Did you consider that maybe like a part of your leadership of the team as well as
kind
of fall on that sword for the guys?
Yeah, you know, as I said, it's hard speaking after games. So I know some of my teammates might not want to do it. So just being in that situation, putting myself, stepping forward, you know, I think it's good for the team.
Yeah, absolutely. Who do you see in the guys coming back being that guy next year?
I see Isaiah Manning doing that, you know. I think he really loves this game. Mm-hmm. I think he really loves TCU, and he's a hard worker. He shows up day in and day out. To be transparent again, I think he is the reason why I had the season I had this year.
Okay.
And that's huge. He pushed me when no one else wanted to push me. He said things that no other player or no other coach would say to me.
Like
and
out-of-pocket things or just like
everything,
motivational?
Anything things you can think of. Out-of-pocket, motivational. He really held me accountable. And it's been a while since someone's held me that accountable. Yes, all the coaches hold me accountable, but Isaiah didn't hold back. And he's a freshman, and that says a lot about someone, which is why I think this program's going to be in great hands, just because I see myself within Isaiah when I was a freshman.
I think that's going to get fans fired up
to
hear that, because I think if there's a guy who's been exemplary of hard work and leadership and doing things the right way, it's been Emmanuel Miller since he stepped on campus.
Yeah.
And now that you've identified Zay as a guy that can do that, that's pretty impressive. When you think about Isaiah Manning and Jace Posey, these two freshmen who redshirted this year, I know you got to see them work
exactly
like nobody else got to see them work. What can you tell TCU fans about those two guys?
You know, being a redshirt, first and foremost, it's very challenging, right? Because we all have this hunger and desire to be out there competing with our teammates. You know, they practice just as much as we practice. They lift just as much as we lift, but they don't get to play the games that we get to play. So them being able to go through a full year, seeing us, seeing the system, seeing our motion, seeing our defense, seeing where we might have some time lapses where the other team is going on a run and how we respond, just being able to witness that firsthand, I think that's huge. I think they're already a step ahead of all the freshmen coming in. I think they've played against all Big 12 caliber type of players in practice, and you know, their work ethic is, I think it's going to speak for itself when you see them next season, right? Jace Posey is one of the most athletic dudes I have ever witnessed.
The first time I saw him jump, it was crazy.
Yeah, it is insane. Yeah. It is like he is an athlete. When you think of an athlete, Jace Posey is an athlete. And I think once all the intangibles comes and he puts everything together, he's going to be an all Big 12 type of player. And the same with Isaiah.
How hard is it these days, do you think, to redshirt?
Yeah.
When and then stay at a program when you see what's happening with the transfer portal?
Yeah, you know, it's extremely hard because as they're redshirting here, their friends that they grew up with, their teammates that they played with, you know, they're playing somewhere else, they're posting their highlights, they're doing this and they're doing that, and it could get frustrating, right? And they never once came in with a bad attitude. They never once complained about how their friends doing. They never once compared themselves to someone else. Instead, they showed up, they worked, and they got better, right? Every road trip, as we're leaving TCU, I look at Jace and I see him watching film from that morning before we leave, right? And that speaks volume to how much he wants to learn, how much he values this game, and how much he wants to be out there.
You know, you think about Jace, you think about guys like Jameer this year, other guys who have come throughout the program.
Yeah.
What does it say about the program that NBA players trust their kids to be here?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think with Jameer and how he transferred from a mid-major coming to the best conference in the world and hitting the big shots that he hit, adjusting to this unique offense where he might not be the focal guy, you know. He's transferred from where he's coming from. He was the guy. He was that guy that's going to go out there, give you 20 points, put the ball in the hoop. And then him transferring here and also doing that, but also facilitating more because he has more players that can help him. I think him adjusting, it speaks to our program because I was able to adjust. At A&M, I was that guy. I was that guy where you give me the ball, here, I'm going to go score for you.
Yeah.
Then transferring here, we have great players like Mike Miles, the Damian Balls, the Eddie Lampkins. We had great players where I didn't necessarily have to do that anymore. Instead, I could rebound more. I could assist more. I could do a little bit of everything to help my team. So I think that just speaks to TCU.
Does that make you feel more pressure or a different kind of pressure when maybe you don't have to go score 25 every night, but – still got to rebound, pass, defend, like your life's on the line.
I don't feel more pressure. I feel the way I view it is, hey, coach, what you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
You want me to do this? I'll do that. I like to do anything that gets me to stay on the floor. I'm one of those players there where I don't want you to take me off the floor.
Yeah.
You tell me what you want me to do, and I'm going to go out and do it. And being able to adjust your role and and change who you are for the coach and the team. I think that's going to help you within the collegiate and the professionals. You know, when you become a pro, your coach is going to ask for a different role because you're not going to be that guy. They have the James Hardens. They have the Kevin Durants. They have the Stephen Currys. But what can you do to stay on that course? So that's always been my mentality.
Nice. I like that. Does your mentality change now that your college career is over? And I do have a couple more questions about your time at TCU.
Yeah.
This summer is important.
Very important.
Because of the preparation and the work that you're going to put in ahead of, you know, the NBA draft and whatever comes after that. So what are you doing and what is your plan this summer to get ready for that potential next step?
You know, first and foremost is taking care of your body, right? You see the best athletes in the world, the LeBron James, the Serena Williams, the Tiger Woods. They're talking about the importance of taking care of your body. Right when the season ended, I kid you not, I went and got a Pilates membership at Club Pilates out on West 7th right away because I need to take care of my body. I realized that this year I could have been better if my body was better. And right away I looked up interviews with LeBron and how he talked about Pilates changed his life. Right away, the second he said that, well, if it's changing your life, let me go get a membership, right? So I've been doing Pilates for the past 2 weeks, getting my body right, getting my mind right, because this is a big summer. And then alongside with getting shots up and just being ready for the moment.
Yeah, I mean, if something's good enough for LeBron.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
I'm probably going to regret this. LeBron or MJ?
LeBron. I think LeBron's the best player to ever touch a basketball.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. It's still MJ for me. I think it's a generational thing.
Yeah, I feel that.
But what's that?
I feel that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, my favorite player of all time is Dirk, though.
Dirk?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
In Dallas.
Yeah.
That dude resurrected the franchise.
Yeah.
Got to pass the baton right on to Luka.
Yeah.
Who, I mean.
What's crazy about that is right before this interview, I was talking to our trainer, Matthew Harrell.
Yeah.
And we was talking about how Dirk's ring is worth like 10 just because of that year and what he was able, the teams he was able to beat.
Yeah.
We was just talking about Dirk.
It's crazy.
It's funny.
LaMarcus Aldridge in Portland.
Yeah.
Obviously, Roy was on that team too.
Yeah. Yeah, the LeBron.
We had the big three Oklahoma City in the second round.
You had
Durant, Harden, Russ.
Exactly.
Ibaka was on that
team. All these young, hungry players.
Like crazy good.
Yeah.
Crazy good team. Then you had, or I guess that was the finals, because then you had, Powell and Kobe. Then you had the first year of
I think
Miami.
It was from 98 to that year. I think no one's been in the finals. If it wasn't Kobe, Shaq, or Duncan, no one else has been in the finals. And for Dirk to go in the finals and win it that year is insane.
Man, I felt so good. Like, obviously, as a Mavericks fan, that was a great year.
Yeah.
But for it to come full circle like that after 2006 when they lost to Miami in the finals, the way that they lost to Dwayne Wade, he just completely took over the series. For it to come full circle like that was really satisfying as a fan.
For sure.
For you as a player, when you think about your career at TCU, though, and you've got the highlights that we've seen over the last 3 years, you know, first tournament win in 30-something years, 3 years back-to-back going to the NCAA tournament, storming the court against Texas Tech and Kansas in back-to-back games, all of these kind of highlights that have built the program up to where it is today, which one kind of stands on top for you?
The one I will never forget was our first March Madness win against Seton Hall. And I remember going back to the locker room. Yeah, exactly. and it's crazy because that was a lot of people's first March Madness games. And I remember going back in that locker room, and I remember just looking around and just seeing the pure joy of everyone's face, right?
Yeah.
And in that moment, we didn't even understand the magnitude of what we just accomplished, right? We're just a bunch of kids. We at March Madness, just won a game at March Madness. And then I remember going into media right after the game, and they're talking about, man, that hasn't done in some – it's been a long time since that happened. Exactly, right. And I remember just being in that moment, seeing my teammates, seeing the smile on Dixon's face. I'll never forget the smile Dixon had after that game because – you know, Dixon's one of those guys that is laser focused before the games. You know, you won't see any emotion because he's locked in. He wants to win that game. And I remember after that game, the smile he had on his face, it's like, it was like worth 1,000 years, the way he lit up. It was just, it was unreal for that moment.
That's really cool to hear. And, you know, I think people outside of the locker room, media, fans, whoever it might be, it's hard, I think, to comprehend the kind of emotional roller coaster a season can be if you're not careful.
Yeah.
Because of the level of work you guys put into this thing, both coaches and players and support staff and everybody else. Fans, they get worked up for 3 hours on a Saturday.
Yeah.
But for you guys, it is the labor intensiveness of it is, I think, really impressive. And so when you get to a moment like that and you have that level of success, sometimes you just can't help
it. You can't help it. Exactly. You can't. It's so hard. It's like a single parent mom working a 9-to-5 and she finally gets her day off. You know, you see so much joy in her mom, in her face.
Yeah.
And for us, it's like, man, we work so hard in these practices. We go day in and day out, just beating on each other, you know, all these back and forths, all these arguments to get to this place where we are. We did that to get to that spot and to finally win a game. You know, you just can't help but let it out. That's why me and Mike scream, because that's all we know. We just had to let it out. We've been through so much that we just have to scream and let it out.
Do you still talk to Mike frequently?
Yeah. He was just here yesterday, actually. We played pickup.
Nice.
Yeah.
How's he doing?
He's doing really good. Just as good as he was before, if not better. You know, he's a great player, great individual.
Has he given you kind of any insight into this offseason and what's coming up? I know that you also have your brother to lean on, and some other guys as well.
Yeah.
What is that kind of feedback and insight been like?
You know, Mike's always been a hooper.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He's always been a guy that you could put him in any situation, get him the ball, he's going to get you a bucket. Seeing him yesterday reminded me of how much he meant to our program, because I got to witness that all firsthand again yesterday.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've talked to Mike not so much about the off season and going into that, but he just seeing him again reminded me of how he's got to where he's got to.
That work ethic.
Yeah.
And the drive.
Yeah.
And all of that other stuff. If it wasn't basketball for
you,
if that wasn't in the cards, what would be the next step?
100% interior design or real estate.
All right.
Yeah. I love, first and foremost, interior design. I love decorating. I always have a vision of how my future house would look like.
Sure.
Something about interior design just always intrigued me. So I think I would escape into that aspect.
So what's the kind of design choice that you lean into? Is it kind of the cold gray slate kind of?
I'm really into modern.
Or is it,
modern.
Or
yeah.
Not the wood grain and the,
but I,
like the kind of woody.
You know, I think I could go either or. One day I'm a modern dude, the next day I'm an earthy dude.
That's the word.
Yeah. No, you good. No, it's all fine. You know, I lean both ways.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And then you pair that with the real estate and it's like you kind of got the whole market.
Exactly. The whole market. Yeah.
That's nice. Okay. Very nice. All right, E-Man. So, last kind of question I've got for you is, when you think about legacy and what you're leaving behind here at TCU, what is the most important part of that legacy to you? What do you want people to remember when they think about Emmanuel Miller?
You know, I want people to know that I gave this my all, right? I want TCU fans, I want this community to know that Emmanuel Miller cared. You know, I cared for this program, I cared for this community, and I cared for the growth of TCU basketball. I'm all for it, always been for it since I committed here, and I want TCU fans to always hold on to that hope, right? You know, TCU was struggling before I came here, and the teammates that I came in with, you know, TCU struggled before we came here, and then we came and we created something special, and I think those fans that were dying for a successful season, a long postseason season, you know, they had hope. And right now, you know, it's as transparent to the world. There's a lot of empty roster spots that TCU needs to fill. And I want TCU fans to just always have hope, because They're going to bring in great players. They're going to bring in a new group of guys and continue the legacy that I'm leaving behind.
They get to stand on your shoulders now, right?
Yeah.
Awesome, folks. That's Emmanuel Miller, TCU great. Excited to see what comes next for you, man. Really pumped for you. All right, Frog fans, we'll see you next time.